The man, the message, and the mandate. Right? The man, the message, and the mandate. This should be the third section. Am I right? Okay. Let me make sure I'm not reading, not teaching you from second section, but third. Okay, this is the third section. Here we go. Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's the word exousia, authority, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Hope you remember what we saw last week. So I'm going to take up some things quickly, and then we'll focus on a vital part of what I want you to see this morning. Or this afternoon, rather. See this afternoon, and then we'll pick it up again next week. Hallelujah. So, teach the gospel of, sorry about the word, and teach all nations, rather. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Lord, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So we say the emphasis of with you is in our pneumatical series, right? Now look at Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 15. He came and said to them, go there therefore and preach the gospel. He says, he, to every creature rather, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So they will take up, they will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly seed, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord, walking with them and confirming the word which I followed. Now we say Matthew's focus is on what? Make disciples, right? Make disciples. Mark will focus on the entry into discipleship. Why is he saying this? What is discipleship? Now when you use the word disciples there, make disciples, that is the word martyrio in the Greek. Martyrio. M-A-T-H-E-U-R-E-O. Martyrio. It's the word you use for how you enroll a child into a citadel, into a school. You get me? Where you enroll a child into a school, where he stops. That's the word martyrio. How you enroll a child into a school. It's another word, martyrio. Martyrio is used for an apprentice, one who is taught. Martyrs, one who is taught, an apprentice. You know an apprentice? An apprentice is one who goes to learn a trade. Isn't that? So you learn a specific trade. So discipleship is when you learn a specific discipline. What is the discipline? Concerning Christ, concerning the scriptures. So therefore, the church is where we raise disciples, not where we raise what do we call this thing? No one will raise money. We will raise investors. No. The church will raise Christ disciples. Okay, the church will raise Christ disciples. Now, Jesus says, Matthew focus on that, make disciples. Mark will say, preach the gospel, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So when a man is saved, he is a disciple. So Mark's focus is on the entry into discipleship. Hope you're following me. The entry into it. He said it is when the gospel is preached. And the man believes it, he becomes a disciple. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So look at Luke. Luke 24, verse 46. He said, trumpet is written, and trumpet beholds Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. Remember, Mark says, preach the gospel. Luke will call the gospel of repentance and remission of sins. Isn't that? Remission of sins. So there, preaching the gospel, when a man believes the gospel, what does he have? He receives the Spirit. John 14 verse 16. Did you see that last week? Right? In my Father's house are many mansions. That is the Spirit. Now he receives the Spirit, and Luke calls the Spirit the remission of sins. So what a man receives is the remission of sins.
Hallelujah. So what do we receive in the new birth? The Spirit of God, Christ. Right? So that is the remission of sin.
So what is remission there? Meaning the taking away of sin. Do you see that?
Something we're going to see as we get into some things, details today. Some things are not there. Hallelujah. So when a man is born again, he has no, that word remission is what affects. He has no remembrance of sin. You know, people think God has a secretary, an angel who is God's secretary. He sits down and what does he do? He begins to write there, see me, I have sinned today. Ikechukwu sinned yesterday. Oh, he asked for forgiveness. Oh, yeah, use the rain to clean it. That's what some people believe. Some people think God is like that. Does God have one big book? So on the last day, two books will be opened. Bam, bam. If your name is not in the book of life, I'm not calling you roaster. Ba, 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 ba. Your name is not there. Then that means your name is God. You are gonna, you're not in the last book of life. Come on. I'm going to explain that book of life and book of death and book of. You don't know, understand it. Hallelujah. Some people don't understand what the book of life is and the book of death is. You don't understand. And there's not the last book of life. So your name is not on the life. You are dead. You are in hellfire. No.
Hallelujah. That is a figure of speech. Hallelujah. But not for today. Glory to God. So all the people believe God has a secretary. And that is because of too much super story. Did I call it super story now? Too much super story. Too much of super story, yeah. Super story. Wale Adenuga production. Angel. So what is your name? Simi. Simi what? Your name is not Simi. Yeah. Did you do change of name? I did not see any Simi like that. Yeah, did you do change of name? No.
Okay.
That means your name is not here, it will be here. So please go this way. Okay. Oh God.
Let me thank God. Thank God I should go to a life. Thank God. Come on, stop saying nonsense. Hallelujah. Now imagine I'm not saying it now. And I'm saying your name is not in the book of life. That means you are not saying, oh, come for me. Come for me.
My name is life. My name is book of life in the name of Jesus. I will make heaven. Heaven is the goal. Come on. I will just walk you out. Yeah? Heaven is the goal. Heaven is the goal.
What is heaven? What do you know it is?
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, that is not it. So, if you think that is heaven is the goal, then you miss it. So, the remission of sins there, come on, means that the believer has no record. Amen. The believer has no record of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have no record of it. The believer doesn't have a sin problem. Say, I don't have a sin problem. Say, I don't have a sin problem. Hallelujah. The believer doesn't have a sin problem at all. At all. Glory to God. Amen. Some people think when you say, oh Lord, wash me with your blood. So God now brings soap and blood. Now you sponge and blood. Then dip into the blood of Jesus. Now start washing your heart. No, that's what it is. The blood of Jesus is the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Yeah? So the Holy Ghost in your heart is the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So therefore we began looking at teaching them in Matthew 8:28. It says teaching them, right? Now what do we say about a good teacher? We say a good teacher is a good student who is a good listener and a good reader. Right? Right? Was that what we said? Okay. So I'm going to be a bit faster. He's a good reader. So we saw that Jesus, being a good teacher, was a good student. Right? Luke 2:46. They sat at least the doctors of the law and he listened to them. Hallelujah. He paid keen attention to them. He was attentive listening to them. In Luke 4:16, we saw that he had the custom of going into the synagogue. The synagogue is where the scriptures are read. The scriptures are explained. So Jesus had that culture of going to the synagogue.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Very, very vital. Because if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is the Word of God, if Jesus is God, and He's in the flesh, He's going to show us, listen, how scriptures are known. And how? He would not impose, superimpose, I'm God, I'm the one, became flesh, I know it all. He would have to follow the same due process.
Hallelujah.
How can I follow you? As God. He would be taught. Because that is how, from the Genesis, you get to know the scriptures. You get to know God. It's via the scriptures, and you are taught the scriptures first. Okay, hearing me. So that is why in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. So that means scriptures have to be taught. So one way you get to know God is via teaching. Hallelujah. God has structured it that way. That your understanding of scripture is that you are taught first. Okay, hearing me. That you are taught what? You are taught first. Then you now read what you have been taught. Hope you are following me.
Hope you are following me. Glory to God. That's how God has structured scriptures to be. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul will write to Timothy, he said, the things that you have heard from me. Timothy is a pastor. But Timothy has a pastor. Who is Timothy's pastor? Paul. And I said, the thing, now Paul is saying to Timothy, who is a pastor, that the things you've learned from me. So that means Paul, I mean Timothy is Paul's student. Do you see that? He said, the same commits to faithful men. So that means Timothy will have deacons. Right? 1 Timothy chapter 3, right? Timothy will have deacons. Now deacons should be found faithful. Hallelujah. So that means in 2 Timothy 2:2, when he says to faithful men, it will be the deacons. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, follow it. So it will be the deacons. Now he says the deacons, he says the things you've learned from me, what will you teach those who are in training? The things you've learned from me, that they that are in training will teach others also. Will you see that? So do you see how knowledge is passed? You are taught to teach others, who will teach others, and will teach others, and will teach others. Hallelujah. You must not miss it. You must not break it. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. So, we began looking at that word teaching. That's the word didache, right? Right?
Glory to God.
So we began saying things like the word didache is a mode of explaining. That means there's a way scripture ought to be explained. Was that what we said? Right? There's a way scripture ought to be explained. Now we're going to narrow it down. Before you explain it, there's a way you ought to read it. Right? There's a way scripture ought to be read and explained. There is a mode. Hallelujah. There is a mode.
Because if you don't read well, if you're not a good reader, you're going to be a bad teacher.
Come here, follow me. If you're not a good reader, you'll be a bad teacher. You won't teach it well. And so that mode of explaining is called didache.
Didache. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Matthew 7 verses 28, we saw that last week, Matthew 7, 28. The Bible says when Jesus was done teaching them, started that teaching from chapter 5, when he was done teaching them, the Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine there is the word mode of explanation. They were astonished at his mode of explanation, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. And we said, how did the scribes teach them? Then Jesus placed a warning sign on the teaching of the scribes. In Matthew chapter 16 from verses 6 into 12, he told his disciples to beware of the leaving of the Pharisees. And this is it. He called their teaching corrupt. He called their teaching wrong. So the mode of teaching of the Pharisees was wrong. Right? And we began to investigate. How does Jesus teach as different from that of the Pharisees? We say Jesus starts from Genesis. What about the text? Luke 24 verses 25.
He calls them lukewarm people in fact. He says, oh fools and slow heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He says, offer the price to some of these things and to enter into his glory. Luke 24, and 27 now. He then says, and beginning at Moses. What is Moses? Genesis. So Jesus will start his teaching from where? Genesis. Listen. So Jude, and I told you that we hold some reading. You don't want to write an exam and you are looking to read for chapter 9. A book of 13 chapters that started from chapter 9. You're going to get. You don't see that from the beginning, chapter 1. Did you see that? Yes. You start from the beginning. So Jesus will start this teaching from the Genesis, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Did you see that? And all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Look at verses 44. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. Did you see that? Which were written in the law of Moses from the Genesis. So Jesus will teach from the Genesis. Hope you're following me. He will teach you as well the Genesis. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Very vital. Is that only from Genesis? Now, therefore, we say Jesus' teacher chain is anagenoscope. Careful reading. From the beginning. Hallelujah. It will involve anagenoscope. You have to read well. In Matthew 19, verses 3, they came to meet him about putting away of wives. He said, shall they not put away wife of life? Because Jesus answered them in verses 4. He said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning. Genesis. Did you see that? Made them male and female. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you have to see it. You have to see it.
We saw in Matthew chapter 12 concerning his disciples that this one was all going to be done on the Sabbath day, that the earth. We saw that Jesus, we must look at how parables are used and figure of speech, because in the Old Testament book we have parables and figure of speech, right? They were shown alongside. So you must know how those things are used, those illustrations. I would say Sabbath day was an illustration of the Lord's day, right? So we say Sabbath day is not Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Sabbath day is the Lord's day. Do you see that? It's called the last day. Now Moses will show in Sabbath day something that they know is from Egypt. And he said, no, you shall do no work, because in salvation, this will not be your work, but you will dwell in God's work. Did we see all that last week? Did we see all that last week? Hallelujah.
Make sure you read your notes. Okay. So we said, the Old Testament books, put it that way, is full of what?
Throwbacks, right? Parables and figures of speech. Psalm 78
says, I will open my mouth. Look at that. Psalm 78 verse 2. Quickly. Psalm 78 verse 2. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable and I will offer the dark sayings of old.
This is that, I will always use the word dark sayings of old. The Septuagint, we put it this way, I will utter the dark sayings from the beginning. So that means there are words or there are mode of writing from Genesis which include parables. So you must know how they wrote. Did you see that? That's what we'll give you a look at sometimes towards the end of the year. How they wrote. Amen. So they'll use parables. They'll use figures of speech. And if you now take those people of speech literally, you will miss it. Hallelujah.
You must always look at what those things pointed to. Was that what we said? What did they point to? Also,
another way you see, another way they wrote this, listen, they also have signs and miracles. They also have signs and miracles. Or put it like this. They also have miracles, signs and wonders.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They also have miracles, signs and wonders. And those miracles, signs and wonders will be,
I have it like this in my notes. I said the signs will be miracles in the earth. Now those signs, which are wonders, will be miracles in the earth. They will be miracles. But take notes. I want you to look. If you are distracted, just remain distracted. But if I need your attention right now. Amen. So the signs will be miracles, will be wonders in the earth, but they will have a bigger implication in the message, in their message. We're talking about Moses and the prophets, even to Jesus. They will have miracles, right? Pure miracles, there will be miracles in the earth. Hallelujah. But you will not just stick to the miracles alone, because those miracles will have an implication in their message. Come here, everybody. The way.
Hallelujah. Let's see a few. Look at Exodus 17, quickly. Exodus 17. I have a whole lot to show us, but just taking it step by step. Exodus 17, are you there? From verse 1. Exodus 17, everybody.
Okay,
if you are there, I'm going to read from verses 1. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys, according to the commandment of the law, and pitched a Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Whereof do ye tempt the Lord? And the people tempted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. Did you see that? They murmured against. Is that what in the flesh? Is that what in the flesh? They walked around and said, whereof is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with this? And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smitest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock. Mark what God said. I will stand before thee there upon the rock. Did you see that? Hallelujah. There upon the rock. In Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and shall water come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chidings of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? Is the Lord with us? Did you see that?
Amen. Look up here. Now, they needed water. And there was a miracle. A rock that had no water, that had no chest of water, brought forth water. Not of the miracle. Right? Was it a miracle in the earth? Is it a miracle? Yes, it's a miracle. But you know what? If you stay there alone, if you pitch your tent there alone and say, yes, it's a miracle alone. And you forget, and you don't look at what it was pointing to. You will enjoy the miracle without understanding the message. Okay, go ahead. You will enjoy the miracle and not understand the message.
Hallelujah. There is a message in it. Hallelujah. It happened again in Numbers chapter 20. They needed water. Now, this is how Moses to speak. We're not dwelling that. Moses struck the rock again and water came out. Numbers 20, 11. Water came out.
Now, before you begin to say, remember, God was on the rock. Right? Did you see that?
That becomes very vital. Now, look at Moses' sermon on that. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, look at what Moses says. Are you there? I was talking about verse 1. Deuteronomy 32 verse 1. It says, I give, he said, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, O earth, the words of my mouth. Say, my doctrine shall not drop as, I mean, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall be still as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender hair, and the showers upon the grass. Behold, I will publish the name of the Lord. This is that, ascribe your greatness to our God. He is the rock. Read that. Read that. So Moses' message of God is that God is the rock. Amen. God is the rock. And his works are perfect. He calls God the rock. Did you see that? Now then when you don't say God is the rock, you don't go to a mountain or hold them and not see the rock and not say Jesus is God. Will you? Will that not be crazy? You don't believe about the man that saw the tabernacle and said that is God. The tabernacle is God. Whereas the tabernacle was conformed to a greater part of God with death. Okay, so you must always look at what does the tabernacle point to? What does the sign point to? What does the figure point to? Then you stay with it. That will be the message. Are you going to deny what the miracle is? No! It is not a miracle in the earth! Hallelujah! God is a miracle God! But every miracle points to the message. What are you hearing me? What are you hearing me? Uh-huh. Every miracle points to the message.
Go to God!
Hope you're following me. So that means the miracle of the rock points to a greater part. A greater part of the message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means an intelligent Bible student must pay attention to what it points to. You look at the miracle, you acknowledge the miracle, but also pay attention to what the miracle points to. Hallelujah. So he calls the rock God of our salvation. Hallelujah. He's called the God of our salvation. Calls this, the rock is signified or points to God, our salvation. That's why it says, the rock is God, all and his ways are perfect. Yeah, I mean, his work is perfect. What is his work? Salvation. Did you see that? Salvation. Verify that. Now look at what Paul does. Or I'll put it this way, look at what, let me show you this. So the miracle of water from the rock points to God's work in the earth. Did you see that? Will you point to God's work in the earth? Yes, hallelujah. So what is God's work in the earth? Heaven and earth. Remember God's work? Heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1. Heaven and earth. What is heaven like? What is heaven God? So God and man in the same place. That is the reason for the tabernacle. The tabernacle is to point you to the fact that God and man is going to dwell together. It's going to point you to the indwelling. God is going to be in man. Whatever you do, you must always see that. So when you see the Lord is the rock, the water out of the rock is going to point you to God's fact of salvation. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4, what is it for you to back up? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, 4, then Paul picked that up. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. Like you allow yourself to be distracted. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. Are you there? Okay, let's see this. It is. In verse 4, it says, and they did drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Said the rock was Christ. Did you see that? Amen. Let's see how, when it's Paul picking it from this Exodus chapter 17. Hallelujah. Said they drank of that spiritual drink. Did you see that? So he calls the rock spiritual, he calls the water out of the rock spiritual. So he said they drank spiritual drink, they drank from that spiritual rock. Hallelujah. There's a spiritual rock, spiritual drink. Hallelujah. So
remember what I taught you during pneumaticus, just what we are still looking at in pneumaticus. We said the word pneumaticus, spiritual, means things in the spirit, things from the spirit, things by the spirit. Right? Right?
So when you hear spiritual drink, spiritual rock, what does it point to? It points to informations in the spirit, right? Informations in the spirit, so it calls the spiritual.
Hallelujah.
Spiritual water, spiritual rock.
He said the rock is Christ. So what will be the water? Information in the spirit, right? Right? Hallelujah. And who drank it? Men drank it. That is union. Come on. That is what? Union. That is what that miracle points to. It points to Moses' message. What we are following you?
Amen. Amen. There has another miracle in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21 quickly. Okay, verses. I'll talk about verses 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Whereof have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They always have something to murmur about. Always have something. There is no bread. Formerly there was no water. Now no bread. Neither is there any water. For our soul looted this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpent amongst the people. That is not the Lord that sent fiery serpent amongst the people.
We'll deal with that during revelation of God. You will see that. It was not God. Amen. It wasn't God at all. But we'll deal with that. Hallelujah. Amen.
We'll deal with that. So, it says, the Lord sent fiery serpent among the people, which I said is not God, but go back to our teaching on the last series on revelation of God. I guess we did a bit of justice to this. Hallelujah. A bit of justice to that. So, it's not God. And what beat the people? The serpent beat the people. Much more, the people of Israel died. Do you see that? So that means they had, and what is happening here is an epidemic. An epidemic, something broke out, right? And they were beaten of snakes or serpents and they died. Listen, wherefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, but we have spoken against the Lord. Take away this serpent from us. Look at what Moses did. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 8, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon the pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, then when he looketh upon it, shall live.
So Moses put a fiery serpent, bread, a brass serpent on the tree, on the pole, right? So people that are beaten of serpent, the moment they look at the serpent, they'll believe. You don't need to stop taking medicine. They will say, tiny head, if it's not tiny head, so that there's no one getting your check, you know? Then, one day for me, put it in fire, then put pepper, then put it, drink it, so that it will stop it. Keep going with that. But you don't need to do anything. Just look at a toy, let's say, look at a toy pattern, and you will be alive, and you will be dead. Watch that word, you will be alive. That's what Chaye, to come back to life. That's the message. Elect to come back alive. And as many look at Moses said, God said to Moses, as many as look at it will come back alive. Now, as many as look at it, where is? Is that a miracle? Yes. But it points to a greater message. Amen. You see that? So the question you also said is, who is or what is the serpent? Did you get that? So they were beaten up serpents and they were dying. They came to this Moses. Moses put them brand in the bed and said, look, you shall live. What is Moses telling them? Moses is telling them that your problem is not the snake. No! Your problem is not the snake and the children is no. Your problem is in the car. Your problem is Genesis chapter number 3. The serpent in the garden. Did you see that? So he takes them out to the message of the garden. The serpent,
the serpent made man to sin.
Okay, come on, baby. Come on. So what you say? No, there's a greater problem.
The greater problem is unbelief. Genesis chapter number 3. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Genesis chapter number 3. So that is the greater problem.
So their mind will go back to Adam. And what was the judgment? Genesis 3 quickly. Let's go to Genesis 3. Hope you are following that. Okay, Genesis 3. Quickly. Look at verse 15 now. Look at what God said when God was passing the judgment. He said, I'll put enmity between the woman and between, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. That is just talking about the serpent. You see that? That is what is referring to the serpent. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is actually the seed
will bruise thy head. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent and the heel of the serpent. Look at that. Hallelujah. He will take away his dominion from man. He will take away his dominion. The dominion of the devil. What are you following that? Amen. Get a catch of the knee. So, Jesus in John chapter 3 verse 14. Come on, let's get to John chapter 3 verse 14.
Are you able to see this now? Hallelujah. So when Moses put that serpent on the tree or on the pole in their wall,
look at what God asked him to do. In their wall, just as you are opening the John tree, in their wall, whatever is put on the pole means judgment on that thing. Amen? So that means if a man is put on the pole, it means that is judgment. The man is judged. So if they put the serpent on the pole, it means judgment is going to come to the serpent. This is the same audience that listened to that had Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. The same audience. Okay, so just like I'm talking to you now, and I tell you the reason for Adam's sin is the serpent. Then next week, there is now a snake bite, biting people, or serpent bite, biting people. And I say, okay. And I'm making a brazen serpent and I'm putting it on the pole. Because you understand that it's a teaching class, you will know that that pole means judgment. Judgment for the serpent. So, what is Moses telling them? Moses is repeating what he has told them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that there will be judgment for the serpent. Hope you're following me. There will be judgment for the serpent. So, he brings it back for them and puts it on the pole. So the pole is used for judgment. What are you following me? So as many as look to see the judgment that will come to the serpent shall come back alive. Now they will have physical healing, but he's talking about the greater fact. Hallelujah. So Jesus speaks of that convocation years after. In John 3 verse 14. Let's get to John 3 verse 14.
Let's see that. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's read one to go. John 3:14, let's read one to go. I want you to read that. No, read it one to go. They say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now that was even so is actually bad dreaming.
Hallelujah. So, amen. So he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you will also see the Son of Man lifted up. But he plainly spoke to Christ that that will also happen to him. Hallelujah. So what is he saying?
He's saying that in the death of the Messiah, you will find the death of the serpent. Will be, so put it like, in the death of the Messiah, you will find, Jesus is not saying it's the serpent, no. He's saying in the death of the Messiah, you will find judgment of the serpent. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Remember, the pole will be judgment. So, in the death of the Messiah, judgment will come to the serpent.
Hope you're following that. Judgment will come to the serpent. Hallelujah.
Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So you must learn to read that conversation or you went get to read scripture of the conversation. We're going to see that shortly.
Hallelujah. It's a conversation. So Jesus picks it up.
Hallelujah. So you find it as a conversation in scripture.
Hallelujah. So scripture is a conversation. No matter how many years, you find it among within the years. Don't worry, we'll look at all that together. Hallelujah. Amen. So
that is to say, in the resurrection, come on, in the resurrection, what we will have judgment for the serpent. Right? Judgment to the serpent, not for the serpent. Judgment to the serpent. Now, as many as believe, what happens to them? He that believes shall be saved. Listen, now not the miracle. He that believes shall be saved. So what does it mean to be saved? If everyone being Christ is a new creation. Is that life? Right? He that believes on the Son has life. So that is life, Kaye. He has come back alive. Is that the healing that he had? Yes. But that was a miracle. What is the greater miracle in Christ? Now when a man believes, he comes back alive from death. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, follow me. Glory to God. He calls that a life. That is eternal life.
He's not in the realm of the very life. Hope you're following that. Amen.
Hope you understood what I just said. Yeah?
Okay. So it was always put at what does the miracle points to? Every miracle in the earth is a miracle that points to the message. Healing for the body is a miracle that points to the message. Hallelujah. Somebody get healed in the body. It's a miracle that points to the message. Healing means to restore it back as it's supposed to be from the beginning. So how is it supposed to be in the beginning? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. So healing points to that miracle. Points to that message of heaven and earth. Healing. So when a man gets healed, you should see Genesis 1:1. Okay, follow me.
Is a sign of the message. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's begin to close the it. Let's begin to close. Little by little. Okay.
No. Super. I thought this is last. Okay. Amen. Super. You also know. Amen.
Let's do something. Quickly. Even Jesus, in his miracles,
you see that it points to the message of salvation. In the miracle of Jesus, he points to the message of salvation. In John 2, he turned water to wine. John 2, he turned water to wine, and he calls the wine the Spirit in Matthew 23. Therefore, you will see those two scriptures, that there will be a new wine. There will be a new spirit. Exodus chapter 36. So it's a message throughout scriptures. Listen up. So when look at what God said in that miracle, in John 2, in the word, in Ascana, the mother said they have no wine. Jesus said it's true. Why did Jesus say it's true? It's not because he did not say they don't have wine again. Jesus didn't say they don't have wine, they don't have the spirit. Hallelujah. So when he says, who has my time has not come, he's not saying, not in that, my time has not come, it's not time for miracles. But if the time of miracles wasn't yet, we can't have the time for miracles, the mother wouldn't have come to the village. Hallelujah. But when it comes to the time for miracles, it's saying my time for the resurrection has not come. So the time there will be will be saved. So it depends on the time for the resurrection. He says no yet come. Isn't that? Because if this is the resurrection, that man would have the new wine. But he went by to do the miracle so that it will point to the miracle of the resurrection. Okay, following you. So when people begin to argue, is it alcoholic wine, or is it red wine, or is it yellow wine, or is it non-alcoholic wine, I saw something, so don't jump in that conversation. Because you are not educated to know he was referring to what? The miracle. So whatever miracle that was done, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic, you are not interested. You are interested on what it points to. What does it point to? The resurrection. What are you going to do? Amen. is weak. Can your head lie down? Solid weak. It's weak.
No, you shepherd.
You don't need all that conversation. What do you want? What do you want to know?
What does it fall to the resurrection?
Don't care about learning. You don't leave him here for patterns for frivolity. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory, glory, glory. In John 5. In John 5. Jesus was at the pool. The pool. They had a meat, a very funny meat, that angels come to stir up the pool.
Very wrong. So in verse 14, Jesus did a miracle.
Look at verse 14. Jesus did a miracle in verse 14. Sorry. Are you me? In verse 8, Jesus did a miracle. He told the man, take up that bed and walk. Now Jesus now found the man in verse 14 and told the man, behold, thou hast made whole. He says, sin no more. Right? There's it, right? Sin no more. Look at what he says. He says, lest a worse thing come unto thee.
What's the message? He says, you are made whole. You will restore back. Is that resurrection?
Yes.
You will restore back. He says, sin no more. He's not telling you to go and stop doing what I want. He says, sin is less a worse thing. What we make is not sickness.
No!
What we then is God's place to see perish. Did you see that? Maybe sickness points to a greater one, which is unbelief. Okay, so sickness points to unbelief. Healing points to what?
Salvation. What are you following me?
It's a sin no more, that is unbelief, leave the world thing happen to you. Perish. So you must pay attention to what it points to. Hallelujah. Then in John 9,
Jesus met a guy, John 9, he met a guy who was born blind. John 9 quickly. He met a guy who was born blind.
And he told him to go and wash. He told him to go and wash. I'm going to go back to John 9. So go and wash. He went to wash and got his out. He got his. Yes, no. He told him to go and wash. And he recycled the store. Wow! Who would not be trying to also? Now you should return to the miracle, right? Wow! Heal! Sorry! That is a miracle in the air. But don't lose sight of what it comes to. Amen. Okay, following you.
Amen.
So that means, listen to me, in the future of the gospel, God gives us the time to move. Hallelujah. I'm going to get it, but I don't want you to get lost on it.
Amen?
We'll get there. But in your preaching of the gospel, so that means when you don't go preach the gospel, never lose sight of the fact that in the preaching of the gospel, God also gives you his power to back it up. That means you don't go preach the gospel, you see a sick person. Lay hands on the sick person. The sick person will be healed. That's because in the preaching of the gospel, there is power in the preaching of the gospel. You have no sign that comes in the gospel. What are you doing? You have the signs, miracle signs and wonders that comes in what you are preaching. So when you go to evangelism, don't say people that say, oh, you believe in Jesus and don't worry, let me preach to others. No! Hear me! Cast out devils! What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't forget the miracle signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel.
That's why we're looking at the man, the message, and the mandate.
We have the mandate.
Hallelujah.
So no shaking. I have the message and I carry the miracles of the message. Hallelujah! So Jesus went ahead and this guy got healed. He began to see. Look at verse 39 quickly.
John 9. Oh, sorry. Verse 38. John 9:38. Quickly. Now Elon went ahead, the Pharisees
wanted to know who healed you. He said, one guy like that. So they had a conversation up until 35. No, they accused him, and he said, come on, what am I to do whether he's a sinner or not? He has healed me. And they said, you to be a sinner now. He was trying to defend him. So Jesus met him in verse 35, and Jesus said to him, when he heard that they scattered him out of the temple,
they chased him out of the temple. Yeah. I said to him, does that believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is the Lord that I may believe on him? Jesus said something will come to see shortly.
Jesus said, do you believe in the name of the Son of the God? The man responded, who is the Lord? For they know that the Son of God is the Lord. Did you see that?
Amen. So they are not thinking like you. Why I say that is that you know that they are not thinking like some people, not you now. Some people in our world are like Son of God.
Say, who is the mother? So you that you are called Son of God, who is your mother? This is David. God is David. So that is the need.
Amen. So if you come and say you are Son of God, who is your mother? The people will laugh. Ha! This one don't know truth or anything. Do you get me?
Don't laugh at you. Don't say things like that.
Amen. But you know, this is years apart. People will now say, who is the mother of God? Who is the mother of Jesus? Who is the mother? You will now say, Pastor did not teach me. Here we go. Go to God. But just good, you just know those things alongside. Hallelujah. So Jesus said to him in verse 37, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Look at 39. Say, for judgment I am come into this world, that they will see, not my see. It's not that he was blind. He said, they will see, not my see. That they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard this word and said unto him, are we blind also? And he said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. Did you see that? If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth.
That is the message. So that's miracle point to emphasis. So when he says, he came, in his judgment, he came that he that seeth not might see. Is that Isaiah 61? Could you rush to Isaiah 61? Message of two scriptures. Isaiah 61. Come on. What's Isaiah 61 from verse 1?
Jesus is within us. Look at it. Are you there? Isaiah 61 verse 1. He reads this again in Luke chapter 4, if I'm not Luke 4:18. Okay, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the second year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark this, the opening of prison. Just put your hands there. Rush to Luke chapter number 4. Verse 18, quickly. Amen. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Did you see that? So, to preach the gospel. Now, what would the gospel is? He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind. That is what is called the opening of prison. Did you see that? Amen. The recovery of sight.
Now, the recovery of sight is also blind people open their eyes. No! Amen. The opening of eyes is to point to that fact. Did you see that? When a man is not saved, his eyes are blind. So when Jesus opened the blind eyes, he said, he points to the fact that in the message of the gospel, when a man believes, his eyes are open. We're going to see that shortly in Luke chapter 24. Because look at what it is Luke 4:18. So when Luke gets to Luke 24 and he says, "Your eyes were opened," he expects you seeing it is in the ministry of Jesus in Luke 4:18.
Okay, follow me here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Very well, child.
Where am I here? Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. So that means he points to that greater fact. Very, very vital. So that means it implies Jesus' miracles are teachings. These miracles points to the message of scriptures. This is the reason why, because Jesus knows that in the miracles, his miracles or miracles stand all through the scriptures, points to the message of the scriptures. He will tell them not to say, "Wow." You know, he told them when he did miracles, he said, "Them do not talk about it yet." Hallelujah. In Mark 5, verse 43, he did a miracle in Mark 5, quickly. Jesus did a miracle in Mark 5, verse 43. About this young lady that came back alive, Jairus' daughter. Look at what he said. He charged them strictly that no man should know it, and commanded that she should be given something to eat. Very vital. Somebody rise this up from the dead. Give me something to eat. Amen.
Very vital. Give him food for her. Telling you, very important. Don't rise up from the dead. That guy says, "Recorder." Hey, what did you see when you went to the land below? You guys are, no, you didn't know this. Your Saturday will come out. You'll be on this confession. Did you witness all those things? Guys, this is very small.
We wake up early in the morning on Saturday. People will buy confession CDs.
You might be playing it on the whole block. Why are we going to stay in blocks? All the whole block will just be quiet. People will be listening. People will be shivering. And all those confession CDs will always happen in that Sabbath. It's just that I'm doing over there. Everything at Sabbath. Why at Sabbath? Confession. People will not be confessing. When I die. We just hear it. So I told my dad that he died and he came back to life, and when he was going to the land beyond, I don't know what kind of journey is that. When I hear it one bright morning, when this world is over, Jimmy Reed.
You will know you only went to the backyard.
Jimmy Reed in the land beyond. Come on now, stop it.
Those people are just so very funny. Dada Baruchek was telling us how someone said she died. Holy sister. They used to call her Holy Sister. She said she died and came back. Everybody saw that she died, she came back. So when she came back, she now said, when she went to heaven, they died out. What she saw was a shock. Her own mansion was a shock. Everybody was not scared. Holy Sister, there's no way to run that. There's no way you're in shock. So in fact, the shop does not have a roof. Not just roof. Rain that began to fall, then you know that this is a lie. Rain.
Which rain do you hear? There are some people who think rain is to fall in heaven. They say come from heaven. There is what you call rain back. Even when you fly in place, you do have hold the rain back. Amen? The rain that began to fall, there is no rain. So I began to shout. And I said, "Ah, where is the head to that brother? He's a shoemaker in heaven. Ah, shoemaker, I'm working. No, he's very shy. Let me know where your problem is." I saw that guy. You don't care that. I was not passing in the streets made of gold. He was not passing by the roadside. He was not doing back up. How?
So give the person food. That's what I eat there. Are you cool? You know when Eutychus too,
Paul used to tell that when Eutychus fell down while sleeping in church, Papa was preaching, he was sleeping. like three. And then he just went backwards and fell from upstairs and died. You know, when Paul laid hands on him and he came back and like, what did they give to him? Ooh. You say, hey, when you died, what did you see? You see, you don't ask those kind of stupid questions.
Amen. Amen. So Jesus warned them, gave up food and told them not to tell anybody. Why did Jesus say so? Let's see something. In Matthew 17, verse 9. I think I have to be fast now because of time. Matthew 17, verse 9. Are you there? It says, and when they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell no one until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So, he told them, do not talk about the transfiguration until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. There's a reason.
Amen. There's a reason. Remember, Peter was already misinterpreting it. There, he just saw, knowing that he just said, ah, we will make the house for this. But, ah, no, this is not happening. He said, don't tell anybody. See, and you will be from this. You see that? It's not like something hiding. No, 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 no. There's a reason why. Now, this looks like you will be from this. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. In Matthew 19:30, now so his disciples, did they say it? No, they kept quiet till he rose. But in Matthew 19, just a chapter after verse 30, he told the people, Matthew 19, are you there? I mean Matthew 9:30. He healed the blind and the mute. Now look at verse 30. And when their eyes were opened, and Jesus strictly charged them, saying, see that no man know thee. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Did you see that?
Amen. So the minute he told them not to tell anybody. Did you want to know? Hallelujah.
Amen. What is not is that? Only we are reading that. So tell nobody. He then received miracles. He then went ahead and told them people. He went ahead and told everybody that it not happened. He then had been healed.
Everywhere else than you. Look at Mark 7. Mark 15. It's a very wonderful way. I like how Mark actually put that same scenario. Mark 7 verse 36.
Quickly, 36. See, and he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more a great deed published it. So that means Jesus told them not to, they kept doing it. Amen. The 37, that and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all this well. He made both the dead to hear and the dumb to speak. This is that he went ahead and told it to them all. So that means in the land, Jesus told his disciples, tell no one, they didn't tell. He told the people that he tell no one, and he told people the more. That means people now had Jesus' gift everywhere. You see that? Jesus' gift was on Instagram, was on Instagram, was on TikTok, was everywhere. The story was everywhere. But you know what? In as far as they published his faith, they were still wrong. Because Jesus, the miracle does not exist. The miracle points to a message. Do you see that? Amen. So they had this, but there is the message. And he told them not to say the resurrection. We want to see the effect of the resurrection next week. Hallelujah. What is the effect of the resurrection? You are getting into our teaching though.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. So the more he told them, the more they keep telling people all around. But would that be the right doctrine of the miracles? No. Amen. That is not the right doctrine of miracles.
is not to be told as a gift. Come and see. He just said that it. Come and see. He just said out. And then we saw that the demon possessed guy was normal. And all the sheep, all the pigs, now they go to swine. Come and see. He will just tell you be. It will just happen. Because he was there, so you know his gift everywhere. But is that message?
Amen.
That's money.
So but in the resurrection,
he now taught them. And that was why he told them not to tell anyone. Because they needed to understand what the miracles really are.
Come here, and
they need to understand. So he told them not to tell anyone.
Because he was going to teach them. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection, he taught them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So after the resurrection, did they now talk about the miracles where? Yes. After the resurrection, we're going to see that. They now talk about, they will not be able to talk about the miracles very well. Hallelujah. So the reason
why he told them not to talk about it in the resurrection, let's look at Luke 24, verse 31. In the resurrection, when he came to them, now look up first. You know the resurrection is a miracle. Right? The resurrection is a miracle. Hope you know it's a miracle. They killed him. They pierced him. Blood and water came out. And it was his heart was ruptured. There was no way he was going to come back alive. Medically speaking. So, but he came back alive. You know, you have just come back alive and said, "Wow, ayo, miracle! Come on, this is me, ayo, Peter. Give me my job, please. How far? I'm here. You know what? You see someone else, he has gone. You know, you have made no sense, right? But he didn't come with a gift. He came and taught them. He taught them about his resurrection. So that means his resurrection was not also a gift. His resurrection was a teaching. So he taught them 40 days about his own experience. He didn't teach them from storybook. He taught them from the Bible. Did you see that? Oh, truly Bible! Look at Luke 24, please.
Let's see that. So he met two of his disciples on their way to Emmaus. Luke 24. Listen, Luke 24. Amen. Amen. In verse 17, look at what he said to them. He said, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are far?"
So he met his disciples going to Emmaus and they were just gypsies and they were far. So what kind of discussion is that and are far? Look at what they said in verse 17. They said, "Are you a Jew?"
Yeah, they all, sorry, today they always do it. Today they say, "Are you a Jew, man?" But look at what they said to him. They said, "One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, as he said to him, 'Are thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which have come to pass in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?'"
Amen.
Can you relate Matthew 24:19 to Genesis chapter 2? Who told you are naked? You read that, can you see this?
This is God. Can you see this? As though he didn't know. Why is he just a rhetoric?
Hallelujah. He said nothing. And he said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. So they are now giving him gist. He defied people. Not giving him gist. So Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed. And the word, and what? Before God and all the people. He said he was a prophet. Mighty. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him and commanded him to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it would have been him who would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and seven of our women also of our company made us astonished, which were earlier at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. You see that? They were giving Jesus a lowdown of what is happening in Jerusalem. They're telling him, they didn't recognize him, they were telling him Jesus. Verse 25. And he said to them, oh fools. Now tell them, oh fools. That is the word anotos. Oh fools. Use your brain. That's what they say. Oh fools. And slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Said, ought not the Christ to suffer this and to enter into his glory. Now, what was it? Now, what was the gist about?
They say he has missed it, but we never see him. Do you see that? So that means whatever Moses is going to teach them about, going to talk to them about here, is going to be within what has happened within the 3 days, right? So look at Jesus was about to tell these two people what has happened within the 3 days. You know, you are not there. Can people look at me well? Look at me now. Look at me. You know, your mama will say, I can't be saved. But look at me. Can't you see that I'm Jesus? You know, you would have not said that. No, be you, bro. Right? You know, you have not said that. Look at my face. You see, can't you see me? I'm Jesus. Right? But he didn't do that. Say, what you saw about the believers from the prophet. They all got the Christ. To suffer all these things, which things? What was the prophet has told them? Say, all not the Christ. So that means, if you go back to the prophet, you will see that the prophet said all this. These things will happen to the Christos. Amen. Remember, Jesus has spoken to us before now who the Christos was. He said, your father killed the prophet. No, amen. You see that? He said, if you will read scriptures, you will see that these things will happen to the Christ. The same way that will happen to all that Christ before the Christ. Amen. So you see, that's happening. They killed the prophet. The honor the prophet said, honor the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. So that is the summary of what will happen to the Christos from the scriptures. Do you see that? Now it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Do you see that? Now he expanded to them in all the scriptures. He didn't give them Jesus. He wants to explain that experience from Genesis and all the prophets in Malachi. The things concerning himself. Concerning himself, is it concerning the suffering and the resurrection? Yes. Amen. So what did Jesus do? He did a Christology of the scriptures to them. Hallelujah. He did a Christology of the scriptures. So that means he showed them from the scriptures what has happened to him. Amen. Hope you're following. His miracle, he taught it. He's not a Jew, he's a Christian. Hope you're following me. He's not a Jew, he's a Christian. So he taught them the scriptures. Hallelujah. I guess I'm going to leave this off here. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And when he taught them, look at what happened in verse 31. As he was teaching them, verse 1, and their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. That takes you back to John chapter 9. Opening of eyes. Is it that? To the blind. Were they blind? No. Were they blind? No. But he said their eyes were open, meaning their eyes there was not referring to physical eyes, but talking about their understanding. Amen. Their eyes were open. And what did they say? In verse 32, this is where we close. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us on the way? Did our hearts burn and open to us the scriptures? Did you see that? Did our hearts burn? Now that word burn there. And the word, we're going to look at all this next week today. And the word used figuratively for conviction, clarity. This is our heart receive clarity. This is our heart receive conviction when they talk to us and open to us the scriptures. So that in the opening of eyes, when the opening of their eyes, they got saved. You were convinced and you got saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That means next week we're going to explore this further and look at, we explore this further and also get to look at the essence of the resurrection.
You need to see.
Hallelujah.
Because as believers, we do not just have the message, we also have the miracles of the message in us.
How do you hear me?
You have the message, but we have the what? The miracles of the message.
Hallelujah.
So as we go forward, preaching the gospel, doing evangelism, I also hope that your pastors this week we're going to do something in our various churches. Even if you're not the physical, but your pastor is going to take you through them.
Hallelujah.
As you go preaching the gospel, this must be your daily life.
Hallelujah.
I hope to get there, but time is against us now.
Amen. But you know, as you get along in your day, your pastor is going to do this other part, then I will teach you.
Get along in your day. As you go around preaching the gospel, make sure if you see a sick person, make sure you heal them. Okay, yeah, I'm not teaching you. Next week.
Amen.
If you see, well, we want to see what is the essence. Is under the man of the physical body. What is the essence of the resurrection for us today?
Hallelujah. So we're going to see ourselves from the resurrection. And we're going to read it all through the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you stick to the word, right? Stick to what it points to.
Stick to the message. And then you have the miracle of the message.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands, lift your hands. Say after me, my hands
are the hands of Christ. Working miracles, doing signs in the preaching of the gospel. I'm not afraid because I know God walks through my hands in carrying out his task. And yes, today. Through his hands, miracles will be wrought. The sick will be healed. The blind will receive sight. The deaf will hear. In the preaching of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So God is going to walk miracles through this life this week. So you're going to be conscious of the miracles this week and for the rest of the month.
Hallelujah.
Because miracles will be done through your head.
Hallelujah.
And remember, when you go out to do evangelism and you see a sick person and you lay hands and the person is healed, don't start dancing through. Don't start doing a
hey,
ah, in the amen. Don't start doing all those nonsense. Just know, if you get the person is healed, you're going to preach the gospel. And like I said, the pastor is going to heal you, teach you, or he will drop a post on you for you to read.
Amen.
He speaks to you.
Hallelujah. Hope you've learned something tonight. Or this evening. I hope you've learned something.